Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 435, Mowgli, or Mowgli.
The movie that nobody asked for.
Which one?
They did.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we got the Disney one.
Yeah, they asked for it. And then they said, wait, Disney's doing what?
We're going to put ours up against what now?
That's the downside of living in the world of public domain.
Yep.
Anybody can make it.
Directed by, and did you notice in the credits when it says directed by poor Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
I watched this movie with Kate and she goes, he's never going to direct another movie again.
He already has.
He did?
I thought he had.
Oh, I don't. He did a bunch of...
This is out now, and so...
If you want to see something really sad.
It's like, I got another job. We need to shelve this for a couple of years.
I think it was the second Hobbit movie, which I don't even remember what it is.
Curse of the Golden Dragon.
Yeah.
I made that up.
And it was the... Wait, there's three of these?
Yeah. Yeah.
I never said the last one.
It's the Desolation of Smaug.
He did all the, the B-unit stuff. And it was Andy Serkis. He was directing everything. And that's when they knew that. And it's really kind of sad because you see Peter Jackson look like a defeated man who knows, I don't have enough script.
Right.
I'm supposed to do three movies. And you can see him like he's just like a mess. Meanwhile, Andy Serkis is directing all this stuff and they get shut down. And,
it's on
the documentary where you watch him and he's like, okay, everybody, looks like that's a wrap and we'll let you know when we're coming. And everybody's like standing around like,
they got orcs in full gear.
And it's Andy Serkis and it's just like, damn, man. Sorry.
Jeez.
Guess I'm reading this book. It's the Jungle Book?
I guess I'll turn that into a movie. I can turn that
into a movie.
This
will be great.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone else is working on it.
They haven't made that in a while.
John Favreau's like, gotcha, sucker.
Oh, so sad.
What we don't know is that Serkis has been developing The Lion King for the last 6 years.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. If he's like, well, get this.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to tell the story of Hamlet,
yeah,
but I'm going to do it with lions.
It's almost,
retooling. It's Robin Hood.
Did you see the trailer for Brightburn? Have you seen this yet?
I didn't see it. Matt Reedy posted it.
So it's the James Gunn Superman horror movie. Where it's like, what if he didn't turn into a superhero? What if he was a murderer? And Mark Waid, who did a comic a while ago called Irredeemable, that is the exact same story, just said, the tweet was basically, hey, James Gunn, you're welcome for the paycheck, ... And that was it.
What?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's the same story. Like,
wait, is James Gunn directing it?
Yeah.
This is the new James Gunn movie?
This is the movie that he's been working on post-Guardians 2.
Oh.
And then people were just like, oh, he's not working. And he's like, sure, I'm not. And this has been, it's Elizabeth Banks.
Oh, this is that. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought when he said that, like, I listening to interviews and stuff before all that went down, I thought he was just producing this movie. I didn't know he was directing
it. Yeah, this is the movie. Okay. But yeah, Mark Waid, poor guy. Like, he gets the shaft.
So he invented that idea?
I mean, I don't think, nobody really invented the evil Superman idea. Like, there's all kinds of stories out there about a bad Superman. But
just as long as he doesn't talk backwards.
Yeah. Oh, God, please.
Sorry.
You know what almost happened?
Bizarro is awful.
He's one of the worst ever.
I don't understand why people like it. I don't understand why they keep going back to it.
It's
horrible.
don't ever do it.
And they always
I agree.
And they're just like, oh, we can make a whole world and turn all the superheroes into that? Let's do
Look at that. You can make a whole world of books. I'm going to skip.
Right. All Bizarro did was make me appreciate Mr. Bitzel more.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, bring that guy back.
Where's Ace the Space Hound?
Superman,
sign me up.
Superman 3.
More Batmite,
was supposed to be Bizarro. Like, if you look at the way... like the sister in that movie looks, she looks like Bizarro. Like she was that was supposed to be a Bizarro movie, and they're just like, no, we'll go ahead and go get Richard Pryor, and we'll figure. We'll make it a comedy.
Still better.
No, totally better.
I don't need to see what it would have been. That's better.
And rapey Superman.
Yeah.
Small correction: Brightburn, directed by David Yaroveski.
Oh, okay.
Produced by James Gunn.
There we go.
Yeah, okay, I didn't think he was directing that.
Well, they keep saying it's the James, it's the new James Gunn movie, but I guess
it's written by Brian Gunn and Mark Gunn, and it's produced by James Gunn.
Okay, but either way.
Yeah,
evil Superman.
I thought, because I mean, I remember following stuff, and he's like, "Oh, I'm working on this ball," but like, I thought it's like as a producer capacity because he's making pretty big movies, and like, I know he's producing these little like indie horror movies, but I feel like his trajectory is more like, you know, I've directed two MCU movies, like I'm not going to do indie stuff right now.
I ain't getting a third one. No, it's just I also said I was like, we haven't gotten a good Superman movie since 1981, so can we just get one of those first and then focus on the bad Superman? Because we've had nothing but bad since 1985.
Like, oh, let's make a darker one.
Yeah,
that sounds delightful.
Oh, I think Zack Snyder did a really good job of making Bryan Singer's better.
I mean, you're not wrong. That's true. Go watch that trailer. It's the Man of Steel trailer. They copied them. I'm not kidding. It's the same font. Mm-hmm. It's the same opening. They copied the Man of Steel trailer on purpose.
Oh, really?
But yeah. It's the exact same beginning. It's like the, you know, like the sunrise over the grass, and like you can see same thing. Like it's the black background with like the silver letter. It's the exact same thing as Man of Steel.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right.
Damn it. Can't get a good one to save our lives.
Poor Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
Well, we should probably go around the table and introduce ourselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Real quick, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts. That's how you're supposed to say it now.
Yeah.
And it's been that way for about a year.
We just started it last week.
I'll always say iTunes.
I'm just like, oh, yeah, I guess I should probably incorporate that. We're available on Spotify. You can do that.
That's where the cool kids go.
And you can still go to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatnot, and rate and review and subscribe and do all that fancy stuff. Don't forget, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. And, of course, our Patreon account, patreon.com/realspoilers. Speaking of show sharers, people who were kind enough to share the show this week, Timmy Two Zunes, Librarian Cynthia, Linnea Thunsell, Lane LeVanway, Travis Tewitt, Tom Comiskey, Chris James, Tammy Sherman Powers, Brent Smith, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Chris Magic Man, Julianne Jordan, Aaron Marlowe, Chris Sanders, Ron Johnson, Griffin Fox Smith, and Ralph Tribble. So thank you very much for sharing the show with your friends and irritating them for yet another week. So there's all that out of the way. I guess let's tackle Mowgli, shall we?
Excuse me, Mowgli, Legend of the Jungle.
Is that what it's always been called?
I don't know. We always referred to it as Mowgli, and then it came out, and it's like, you know, in big scroll, Mowgli, Legend of the Jungle.
It is insane, the difference between...
That this movie got made?
Yeah. Well, not that... I mean, okay, I can understand that it got made.
I've seen a lot worse movies get made.
We've seen Jungle Book get made a lot of times.
Right.
A lot of... by Disney... There's the
sequels and there's the weird ones.
Well, even Jungle Book 2 is not bad compared to some things. But that one weird animated Jungle Book, and we talked about it when we talked about Jungle Book, and it was Disney was behind it and was like, ooh, that's terrible.
What are you doing? But it's like,
this is just
when you see the Disney version,
and then the animals look like animals.
Yeah.
Yes.
Disney version, they are beautifully crafted. They look like real animals.
You know
it's CG, but they look like animals. Right. This movie, the animals look like people.
This kind of gave me the willies, to be honest.
No, every animal looks like the voice actor.
Oh, yes.
It is
that's
the creepiest, freakiest thing. It's like, why would you make them look like people? They're animals.
Although, my problem with this movie was, like, I didn't look at who the voice actors were, so I'm like, how many people was Andy Serkis playing in this thing? Is he everybody?
So, like,
was it his studio that was behind this?
It's Warner Brothers.
Because it's his whole mocap, well, he's got a mocap studio. He is he's the go-to
mocap
guy.
The gear they're using looks just like the stuff that he was using in Planet of the Apes. Yeah. Like, I saw the technology, and maybe the technology is similar, but like the setup on the behind the scenes looked very similar. Like, well, he's still using his gear.
Right. Yeah, it was weird, though, because I was puzzled because I didn't expect to see Caesar and Snoke in this movie.
Yeah. But guess what?
Because I was like,
you did.
Andy?
Yeah. It's, yeah. So just like the fact that these were supposed to come out at the same time just lends to Warner Bros. Being like, shelve it.
I'm just telling you right now, I called this. I'm so glad because I know people are like, oh, well, you know, Netflix, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, if they sold this to Netflix and the other one made $1 billion in theaters, I'm like, they had no confidence in this movie.
No.
And this is a piece of garbage. If this came out in the theater.
I disagree. I liked it.
I didn't think it was that bad.
I didn't think it was that bad at all.
Oh, I hated this movie.
The only thing I didn't like, if I had not seen the other one, and I knew it the whole time I was watching this, I'm like, man, if I hadn't seen the other one, I wouldn't have to like keep comparing it, but it's so fresh and so recent.
Right.
Had I not seen it, I think I probably would have really been okay with this movie. Like, I don't know if I'd give it a high C low B.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at on it. I'm in the mid C. Yeah, and like that's exactly. It's a solid effort.
But man, it's just because we just saw it so well done.
They may have gotten a better grade. The scene, we'll get there.
Oh.
When I was just like, well, I have to explain this because I'm sitting there with my kids.
This is not a kids movie.
No, it's not a kids movie.
It's okay up until a point.
It depends on your kid.
Okay, yeah, but this is a very PG. When it says PG-13, they're not kidding around.
If you go to Netflix and it's in kids, it could be considered a kids movie, and this is not in the kids section.
That's true. Yeah.
When
that's
I say kid, true. I'm like, you don't watch this with a 6 or 7 year
right.
old.
Well,
this
I did.
Well, you don't.
I think it depends on your 6 or 7 year old.
Yeah.
If I'd have watched this when Zach was 7, he wouldn't have blinked an eye.
Yeah.
But for the majority, there's exceptions.
We were good up until a scene.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Son of a.
And like,
oh yeah,
it's my favorite scene of the movie.
It's a very good scene,
but it's unusual, it's jarring. Yes, I mean, I was just like, whoa.
My favorite scene in the movie was the end credits, but
no, I honestly, I'm with Tom. Like, I went into it with very low expectations to begin with.
Yeah.
What grade did you give it? A low C?
A mid C.
I mean, that's not good.
No, it's not. I mean, it's better than what I would have given it had I not even watched it.
Yeah, I mean, I see way more people are going to see this now than who would have seen it.
That's true. Theater, so
it's got more eyeballs on it.
And
But what did Netflix pay for it? That's the question.
Probably $100 million, I think.
And what was the budget? Do we even know?
I don't know.
120, 150.
The Jungle Book by Disney made $1 billion.
Nope. And that's a different movie.
That's a better movie.
It deserved to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was better.
But the difference in the CG. I went back and I watched the comparisons between the two movies. If you compare the two.
They dropped all of the money on the faces.
Which was a mistake. It was a huge mistake. So what they did was they motion captured just like Caesar. Okay, the last Planet of the Apes movie looks incredible. If they're using the same technology, it's just stupid.
I also think maybe that has to do with the director.
And maybe it has to do with the fact that they're recreating the same animal over and over again.
That's also true.
Yeah. Right, but
on this one, you're creating the same animals. I mean, it's the same people. It's the same.
But you had to do a tiger and
wolves, just monkeys.
Yeah, apes, you know.
But they didn't make those animals look like the people playing them's faces, like for the most part. And so in this one, they use the same technology where they motion capture the face, but all the animals have the facial structure of the actors. And it's so jarring because when I first saw Shere Khan, I almost laughed. I was like busting out laughing. I'm like, what the hell is that? And then I look and I'm like, oh, that's how Benedict Cumberbatch's face is laid out, like with the wider eyes and
the only one to me that was Baloo.
I feel like, go back and look at it.
I mean, I'm not making this up. They all do, like Cate Blanchett with the high cheekbones on the snake.
Yeah, I could see that.
The animals look like people. It is the weirdest thing. Yeah. And
Bagheera is probably the worst. And I don't know who played Bagheera.
Christian Bale.
Oh, okay. Well, it was creepy.
The cast of
it was like the dog face thing and the remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking
yes,
about?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, because these are human faces on animals.
Yeah,
it is just weird.
It's hard even to, like, I mean, we can only talk about, I mean, everybody knows this story. It follows the story almost exactly the same.
A little bit truer. I mean, when they were talking about it, they were like, it's a little bit truer to the source material.
Sure. Yeah.
A little bit darker.
That's why Blue's
in
as a whole.
It is all of those things.
It's a whole lot darker. Yeah. It's a lot darker.
A lot darker.
There's a lot of killing in this movie.
Well, and I also
there's not only a lot of killing, but there's a lot of killers.
Which
sounds like, well, if there's people getting killed, of course they're killers. But it's like, but you also see the characters you're supposed to sympathize with make some very morally ambiguous choices.
Yeah.
Which I kind of dug.
Isn't that interesting that we're talking about this, how Tom and I both have feelings about we all have feelings about the DCEU, and that they tried to mimic the Dark Knight and made everything dark, and we're just like, no, like, what are you doing? But then they do it with the Jungle Book, and you're kind of like,
source material.
Interesting.
I feel like it's the other way around. They took a dark thing
and turned it light.
And turned it light.
That makes sense.
When Disney did it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, and we could, if you were using this or even the source material, if you watched the narrative, you can see where Disney was like, well, we're going to do this with this character. We're going to change this over here. But, I mean, there's a lot of things that are like, they overlap and they're almost in sync with like what happened in each movie.
They are. Yeah, I agree.
There's some like the elephant.
It's like alternate 1985.
You know, like where you watch the elephant scene. It's like, it's pretty much identical except for, in Disney they did this, but it was still like the relationship was still there.
Yeah.
It's just,
In the Disney version, he sees a girl, right? And he follows the girl to the village, and then
about the original anime.
Yeah. Well, I think they do that in the live action one too.
Yeah, he sees a girl.
And then he follows the girl.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So yeah. So
and
this
they
one,
let him.
Yeah. Right. So this one starts fairly similar. Shere Khan. Kills.
Shere Khan.
No, we're not doing that again. We're not doing it again.
Shere Khan. Let me rock it. Rock a shaker.
He kills a. A whole village, like a bunch of people, and he leaves. Mowgli is left alive, and he is taken by, what's the puma's name?
Bagheera.
Bagheera. Thank you,
Christian Bagheera.
Batman.
Bagheera
doing the Batman voice in this one.
I was watching this by myself, and I was just like, when I looked up, because there was. There was certain times I'm like, okay, I got multitask.
There's also
when I looked up and I saw that human face, I was like,
this movie also, you skipped over. It starts with the beginning of Lord of the Rings. It's literally Cate Blanchett opening, opening the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
that was. I was like, is that Ka? Who's talking?
Yeah, but this is how Lord of the Rings start with the same person, actor.
It does. What?
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's
right off the bat, I'm like, kind of preferred Scarlett Johansson.
Cate Blanchett is great, but Scarlett was a way better
just
call.
So that voice cast was Ben Kingsley as
Bagheera.
Bagheera.
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray is Baloo. Mm-hmm.
Scarlett
Johansson is Ka. Yeah.
Idris Elba
as Shere Khan. And Christopher Walken is King Louie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then whoever else.
Yeah.
So this one, which is definitely it's a very good.
This has got a great cast.
It's a fantastic cast.
I mean, Disney, if Favreau was like, I mean, he had worked with Ben Kingsley.
They're all Disney. They're all X-Men. They're all Avengers.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, they just went like Dreamcast, and they just said, "We'll just get him. We'll just get her,
and just pay him."
But also, Favreau worked with all these.
One of the big problems I have with this movie is I think Serkis does a bad job directing it, because I think all the actors are overacting so much. Their delivery. So in like Jungle Book, when I went back and watched those clips, I'm like, oh, these are great actors as well, but their delivery is natural. In this movie, everyone's like, "Ha-da-da-da-da." Like they're like overacting, and I'm like, it sounds like
I think you've got a bunch of people, with the exception of Cumberbatch, who don't do voice acting,
right? And I think maybe Serkis couldn't tell them how to do it or something,
or mocap.
Yeah. And I think
I don't know how much they actually did.
And I feel like the other actors in the Disney version are voice acting, like can do voice.
Yeah,
They've all done it.
Scarlett Johansson's in the SpongeBob movie.
No, Idris Elba's in Zootopia.
Oh yeah.
But these are clearly not voice actors, and I don't think Serkis gave them the right direction, because I mean, like, because like Christian Bale, amazing actor, but his delivery as Bagheera, like, is just so overacted, and I don't know if Serkis felt like, I'm a new director and these are big actors, I can't rein them in, or if he just didn't know.
I maybe that's what he wanted. Like, that's the other thing. I know, but like, maybe that's what he wanted. Not saying it's the right choice,
right?
But maybe that's what he, you know, as a way to counteract the Disney version, he's like, no, we got to make it completely different. Yeah. So you guys go over the top.
They're making at the same time,
and we're not going to sing. There's no singing. No singing.
No, there's no singing.
So so we see Shere Khan kill these people.
Shere Khan,
don't.
Sure. No, let's. Khan.
Yeah, that's which I'm surprised that didn't happen in this movie. Khan! Honestly, I guess it kind of does.
Yeah,
yeah,
just not the echo,
right? So Bagheera takes Mowgli, drops him off with the wolves. The wolves lick the blood off of him.
God, they're so bad looking.
I gotta tell you, those were bad looking.
And the hyena thing. Oh,
the hyena was like, I was like, I can deal with that. I can deal with Shere
also
Khan.
Also gave me the willies. What was the hyena?
I don't know, but they also. I agree.
Do you watch Westworld?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the actor that plays the owner, James Delos? He's a character. I mean, he's been around forever. I just can't think of the name.
Oh,
James Delos.
Yeah, but he's the leader of the pack. He wasn't the hyena.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I recognize that voice.
Like, but there's a lot of character actors aside from those big, you know, and I can't remember. You'd know that.
I know exactly who he is. He was in Session 9.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was like the lead character in Session 9. Okay. If you've never seen that, do that.
Oh, I have.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, like, so besides from the weird faces, like, this CG, if this was all CG, I don't think it'd be so bad, but the blending of the real world, because there's such an uncanny valley, like, because it's good, but not good enough to where it's, like, it stands out.
It's better,
you know,
than
what I mean?
It's better than a traditional Netflix movie.
Totally.
But
it's really good, but it's not quite there to blend in.
The biggest difference, like, when you take the Disney, I know we're going to keep, but that's all we, like, they were supposed to come out at the same time.
Right.
And there is definitely a reason.
It is the exact same story.
When you look at the Bill Murray Blue,
he looks like a bear.
He also kind of resembles the Disney version.
Yes.
Like, it's close. Like, he's the same color as the Disney version. Then you see the Andy Serkis Blue.
God, the eyes are so creepy.
And that's the thing, is like, if you look at, it's almost like looking at a comic book from the 90s, right? Like, for an artist who couldn't do more than a book every 6 months because he was so concerned with the details on the, like, it's so hyper detailed, but it's just the face.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it, where you look at the Disney version, you can see the hair move, or you can see a tick on the mouth, or, you know, it's very intricate, where this one's like, okay, we got to get the face right. Oh. And they spend all the time on the face, and they're just like, we got to get this movie out. Just put something on the back.
Because those are Andy Serkis's human eyes or something. Like, it is so creepy when Baloo is staring at people with, like, human eyes.
I mean, they used a lot of his facial I mean, Snoke is that.
Caesar is that.
It's just
that.
Done better.
Way better.
Okay, so that's my point, though, is I think that obviously with Snoke, they had Ryan Johnson, and then they had Matt Reeves, where you had accomplished directors who knew what they were doing with the CG. I feel like this was too big of an undertaking
for a
first time director.
Yeah,
you know, like, if he's gonna, if it is pretty massive, like doing the B-roll stuff for the second Hobbit movie, or doing the B-roll stuff for maybe he did some of the Star Wars stuff that they don't really say. Like, that makes sense, but when you're just like, by the way, you're gonna do this CG fest for your first time out, maybe it was a little daunting. Like I said, again, solid C. Like, I'm not gonna, you know. So they go to the wolves, and we get everything is basically the same, where Shere Khan wants Mowgli because he has the rights to Mowgli. Also, Shere Khan has that weird,
he has the rights to Mowgli.
That's kind of what it is. I'm sure Warner was like, I wish we didn't have the rights
claim,
to Mowgli.
He could claim, there's like, oh
yeah, he killed everybody, so he gets the kid too. But also, Shere Khan has the weird, like, hook claw,
janky foot.
I was like, why, what's, can, I don't need a backstory, but I'm kind of curious as to the backstory.
Did he, in the fight with the parents, did they injure his paw or something? Is that like the backstory in the Jungle Book? I can't remember why he has that, but I feel like.
Or did the hunter do that? Isn't that the deal? Is it the hunt? Like,
Like, they both ended up wounding each other.
Yeah.
I thought it was something like
maybe
that.
That's what it was.
Because they're kind of mirror images of each other.
They are. Yeah. So they go to the Council of Wolves, and they decide that Mowgli can stay. Mowgli is going through his training, not in a fun way, with Baloo and everything. Like, it's
which this is closer to the book. This is why Baloo is such a douche in this movie, because it's like in the book he was not the Disney version. He was this hard
trainer. In the other version, they get pissed that he has
his tricks.
That's what it was, right? Like,
yeah,
so
tricks.
It was like
human tricks,
walking on his hind leg, like walking upright, and that's what I thought.
Yeah, the mom
says you can't
didn't
use
want
them.
Him to use the human tricks because they were trying to get him to fit in because he was always being cast out.
Right. Okay. So then we're also introduced to, this is an important character, Boots, who I thought was really good. Like, I liked that character a lot.
Yeah, he'll be in the sequel.
Sure. Maybe on somebody's wall. Boots
is going to make a nice jacket.
It's for a kid because he's very small.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Man. You should have been here last week.
Yeah, I'll have to say, like, once the whole hunter was introduced, this movie, I was pretty transfixed for the rest of the movie. I was like, how long is this movie?
It's not long. It's an hour and 30.
It was like an hour and 45.
But so I was like, when the hunter's introduced and he's like off the camp.
Right.
And I was like, how much is left? I was interested.
And that's where the movie turns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the exact same movie for the most part up until that point.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, well, now we're off to the races, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's different. Disney did it. They had Mowgli, don't do the tricks. And Baloo's do the tricks. I need some honey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. So a test is coming where if you want to go on the night hunts with the pack, you have to pass this test. So Bagheera and Baloo are just like it's a Rocky montage of them trying to get Mowgli
if you want
to
be a part of the pack, you pass this test.
I felt like it was the like they keep saying if you want to go on hunting trips.
I thought that I took it as
if you didn't pass, you weren't in the pack.
Yeah, he got kicked out if he didn't.
No. But then on the flip side, Baloo says, "But everybody always passes."
That's true. But he doesn't. He doesn't get kicked out until he uses fire. Then they're like, "You got to go."
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I thought it was like to be a part of the pack, but
I don't know. That's not the way. I mean, I felt like the only way he could hunt was if he could keep up.
Yeah,
and he couldn't. Because, he's
got to pass the wolf test. And,
that's right.
Yeah.
or he has to be a gatherer.
Yeah.
Yeah, a hunter or gatherer. Right, right. And then hunters don't really get a go with gatherers.
Right.
Then he gets to hang with all the ladies.
If year one has taught me anything. So they go and, he's training real hard. And Baloo's kind of like, just use your hands. And you're going to have to train differently because if you're going to run on all fours like a weirdo, like it's not going to work. So the day of the test.
Did anyone pick up on, do they speak English or are they speaking animal?
They're speaking animal.
I think they're a head.
So the animals can't talk to the humans, but
they are. And because neither can Mowgli.
Yeah.
Right.
As we'll see.
Right.
We'll see.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
My second favorite animal movie.
Yeah. So they're all different animals. So they all are talking different animal. We hear English, but he can't talk to them in English.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Right.
I'm just like trying to figure out like.
Animals have like a shared Esperanto.
Yes.
Nice.
Well done. So he's doing the training. The day of the hunt.
I like the scene where during the training, he falls in the water. He gets his foot caught.
Oh, that was a really good scene.
And Shere Khan comes along.
I didn't really like that.
Where he's trapped under the water.
Shere Khan himself.
Comes along and is covered in blood.
Yeah.
And he just kind of like rinses his face and it's like, hey, there's some stuff down there.
Yeah. Well, it's he falls in the water and
he gets stuck.
No, he gets himself stuck so he won't go to the surface. Mm-hmm. So he wedges his foot like in between some vines when he sees Shere Khan come over the top of the water.
Yeah.
And that's,
that was a good scene.
It's almost like Jaws-ish.
Yeah.
Where Shere Khan kind of puts his face into the water and the blood that was on his face just kind of dissipates into the water. Mm-hmm. And then I love that scene where he's got like a little,
boop.
Yeah, it's almost like the scene from Kill Bill where like the animated origin story of Oren, where she like grabs the whimper and like puts it back in her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like air bubbles pop up and Shere Khan immediately pops his head up and just kind of like stops. Mm-hmm. But just like the way it's shot, which is obviously it's not a shot you can do practically. I feel like
they'd
be
wait for that. I mean, the water like calms and it's then it's like glass.
Yeah, I just feel like that's a really hard shot.
It was a good scene.
It was a very good scene. And then he kind of walks away and Mowgli mm-hmm. pops up and yeah. And then, so the entire time Shere Khan is killing cows to lure. I'm assuming they never really, I guess, to lure man into the woods. Mm-hmm. Is that what he was trying to do? Okay.
Cows are supposed to be the most sacred animal in this area. And so, like, they're respected above all other animals and by humans.
But he was trying to lure the humans into the woods. That's what he was trying to do. So, why? To kill the humans?
Yeah.
He wants to,
Okay. All right.
Because the humans are encroaching, and so he wants to send a message.
To get out.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, honestly, that's kind of a hero move.
Yeah.
He should, that's one of the things I really liked about the movie is that it's like you understood both sides' motivations.
With the exception of killing of Mowgli.
No. I don't think the movie did a good job of explaining why they wanted to kill Mowgli as it could have, but he wants to kill Mowgli because like he doesn't want man in the jungle.
I gotcha.
At some point this man cub is going to stop being a man cub and just be a man.
And he does.
And if he figures out how to walk upright and use tools, they are six kinds of screwed.
And they are.
But they did do a good job of explaining everything you just said they did do in the other movie.
Yeah. And so I feel like they kind of undersold that or under-explained it.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, and they're not wrong.
No, they're not wrong.
And so like, I really dug that.
Okay.
You know? Right. Although that Idris Elba did a better job of, like, he did basically say that. Is like, I mean, as bad and as mean as that Shere Khan was, he explained, it's like, someday, he's going to come back, he's going to be walking upright,
and he's going to
master fire. And,
right.
And those are the best villains that believe they're the heroes.
Well, they're also the best villains where you as a person watching the film is just like, I kind of see it.
Yeah.
I kind of get it.
Right, when their motivation and when they actually have a reason, as opposed to twirling your mustache and tying the damsel to the train.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like the Lex Luthor idea, where it's just like, well, I mean, we as a moviegoers know that he's not the bad guy. Like Superman's not the bad guy. He's not going to turn on us.
Right.
Where Lex is just like, he's the bad guy. He's going to turn on us. So like that's a little bit different.
But if you really lived in that world, like you'd be like, I mean, what if he does?
Jonah Jameson, he's a menace.
Yeah, but he's not a menace. He never does anything menacing.
Yeah, like that's different. Like,
he never does anything. He's just like, oh no, he's working with the Green Goblin. No, he's punching him in the face.
Right. Yeah.
No, he's not.
It's a trick. It's an elaborate ruse.
Yeah, it was fake news in 1964. Yeah.
But I always liked in Spider-Man and all those different movies and comics how, like, at least from the police point of view, though, he is a vigilante.
So
I like the fact of people, like, you at least understand where they're coming from. Like, yeah, he may be tearing up all these bad guys, but are we encouraging vigilante justice?
But we can't live in that world.
Yeah, like, it's always a nice parallel.
Well, we saw a character who walked that balance and explained that, which was Gary Oldman as commissioner or as Gordon, Lieutenant Gordon, when he was like,
he was,
what about escalation, you know, and you're wearing a mask.
Yeah.
And even it's if, like, he even understood, if he, it's like, thanks. However,
even if you're great, what happens to the next guy that puts on a mask?
The ending of Begins is one of the best endings ever, where he's just like, and now we've got somebody else who's got your flair for theatrics and throws down the card. And I was like, oh God, that's good.
So,
He gets ahead and he's using his tricks and he's going to win. So the deal is with this test, is that Bagheera is going to chase these cubs down and he's not going to hold back and he's going to pick them off as he needs to weed out the weaker of these cubs. So I do like that Boots is just like, go, you're going to be great. You're going to be fine. Have fun, buddy.
Is it Boots or Boot?
I thought it was Boot.
That was Boots.
Oh, I thought it was singular. Oh.
Wow.
Don't worry,
little albino guy.
Yeah, it's not gonna matter.
Little guy.
Yeah, little guy is right.
He's kind of an outcast,
like Mowgli. And
it is Boot. B H O O T. Boot. Okay.
Oh, all right.
You're right.
Spell it again.
B H.
Oh,
Boot.
Yeah, Boot.
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 Well, you know, it's India.
That's true, yeah.
It's like they got a different word for everything.
It's weird how that works.
Yeah.
Language. Mowgli is starting to use his tricks. Like, he's jumping off, like, lower cliffs, and he's getting ahead. And just when you think he's
starting an Instagram account.
Yeah, right, right. Because he wants to go viral with his blog.
Sure.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Right. Just as you think he's going to cross the finish line, Bagheera basically spears him, and it's almost like Bagheera goes into a rage, and he's gonna kill Mowgli.
Yeah, it's like a bloodlust.
It was like a bloodlust. Yeah, and like Baloo has to pull him.
It's still his instinct.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they definitely, these are more animal centric animals than the Disney version.
Yes.
Where they still have their animal instincts, where the Disney one, they don't.
Yeah, just wish they looked like animals and not freaks of nature.
They're weird. I'm not going to lie. So Mowgli loses and he's pissed. Like, he's like, you set me up. You only went after me. Like, I was the only one. You targeted me because you knew I was the weakest. And then I was just like, yeah, that's the way it works. Like, they're going to target the weakest because they know, you know, that's nature. So Mowgli's super pissed. He goes and sits down, and Boot kind of comes over and tries to give him a little pep talk. And he was just like, you know, and Mowgli tears into him. He's like, you're a freak. You're not, you know, you're a weirdo and nobody likes you.
The weird thing a little about Boot, just a little piece of trivia.
Yeah.
In Canada, it's pronounced Bout.
Bout. Wow. There's a whole new dub for that movie. Yeah. Just for Netflix Canada.
Yeah.
So Mowgli, he's kind of by himself, and then is this where Shere Khan attacks the pack?
Shere Khan attempts to eat Mowgli while he is unconscious, but is stopped by Baloo and Bagheera.
Oh, okay. So he gets pissed and he goes, and the entire time, like, much like the Disney version, the simians in this movie are like, oh, kind of you like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are kind of messing with Mowgli, and they all like, and everybody keeps saying, just leave him alone. Like, they're not good folks, those simians. They're going to keep...
The monkey people?
Why
do they call monkey people instead of monkeys?
Why do they keep using the word people?
I didn't understand that at all. The monkey people. Yeah. What?
So, Mowgli is, you know, he starts to kind of get his mojo back a little bit, and then he's taken by the monkey people. But I guess this would be in the Disney version where they go see King Louie.
Right. Yeah.
There is no King Louie in this movie.
No.
In the original one, does Shere Khan have a connection to the monkeys? I don't think so. Like, it's just one big fight from King Louie's perspective.
I'm only going
based
on the Disney version, so.
That's the only version I have to go off of.
No.
But, like, there's a fight between.
No, they're their own thing.
Right, okay. So. Mowgli is captured by the monkey people. Shere Khan kind of shows up with the hyena, and this is the turn where this movie kind of turns into something else, where you see Shere Khan start to carve up Mowgli. Like, he's cutting him open in his shoulder, and like you see the claws go into the skin and like dragging down. Yeah. I was like, oh no. Like, you don't go all the way down, because that's
yeah.
You're going to this
family movie night.
Bella's like, yeah.
I'm pretty sure, like, down is go to the morgue. Like, if I remember right, like, go to the hospital, go to the morgue. That's the morgue. That's the morgue one.
Your daughter's holding up her poster board sign that she's made for Shere Khan.
Yeah, I'm like, you don't root for the heel, you moron. You got to root for the baby face.
Except it's like the tiger from Aladdin. It's like a cartoony tiger with like hearts all
is
over
it. Sheba? Mm-hmm. The tiger?
Raja.
Yeah. And then Baloo, like, he's gonna kill Mowgli. Baloo and Bagheera almost do a superhero landing where they come crashing through. They get into a fight that doesn't go their way. Like, they are getting decimated by the monkey people. And how do they get out of there? And then Ka shows up and, like, kind of wraps herself around Mowgli, and they all leave because they're more scared of the snake than the giant grizzly mm-hmm. bear and the puma.
Mm-hmm.
That was a weird part. Snake. I mean, that's true.
It's huge. And
the bear and the puma can't swallow you whole.
That's fair.
And the source material, is Ka supposed to be male or female? Do they ever say? I just thought
she's
it was an
always
interesting
been
choice.
Female.
No.
No.
You think it was a male in the Disney
I just think
one?
It was an interesting yes. choice oh. that, yeah, that.
No, Sterling Holloway.
Oh,
well,
oh,
yeah,
you're right.
It was, yeah, in the cartoon, yeah, yeah, definitely. So I thought it was an interesting choice that they chose Scarlet in the Disney version mm-hmm. and Cate Blanchett in this version. Like, it's just interesting yeah. if it's a male character.
I mean, that was the switch that I liked so much when Favreau
yeah.
brought in Scarlet. I was like, oh,
for
that
both,
was clever.
But she can also she can
a female.
Sing, and she kind of has that.
Well, she has
whispery, like that.
It's all about. I mean, in the animated one, you know,
the
puts a whammy on you
yeah.
with.
I like the Scarlet song.
And then to have Scarlet like sort of like hypnotized.
Yeah, isn't there a Ka song?
Yeah,
Trust in Me.
She right. sings. Yeah,
she sings like a version, like a
I
short
like
version.
Yeah,
of
I like
yeah.
it.
But
I like her voice. It's so different.
She
you know,
doesn't do it in this.
Yeah,
Cate Blanchett does
well,
not
no,
sing
I mean,
in this.
No. But
yeah, the character is different in this.
Yeah. yeah. Oh, yeah.
More
so she kind of says she gives him. Apparently, she can see into the future. Where she says, like, you're gonna leave,
and it's in my belly.
Yeah. Right. She's like, you're gonna leave. You're gonna come back. You're gonna, you know, you're gonna wreak havoc when you come back. So you should just leave.
Yeah.
And not come back. And he would, you know. Mm-hmm. So he. Okay, this is where
the fire.
Shere Khan is attacking the pack, and Mowgli kind of they go on the night hunt, and the deal is like when you miss your kill on the night hunt and you're the leader, you're no longer the leader.
Right.
And then he does. Like the leader of this pack misses his kill. And everybody knows, like, oh, Will, okay.
Now they got a Black Panther it.
Yeah, that's exactly it, yeah. So they're having, like, a pack meeting. Minutes were taken. There was a stenographer standing by.
Was it Robert's Rules of Order? did we clarify?
I believe, yes, that's true. Amendments were brought up and
like,
things
like, we want to kick him out, but we need a second. Yeah, right. You know, come on, second this.
Yeah.
In this world, the monkeys are the Nota Republic.
Yes, yeah, correct, yeah. correct.
Can't find them when you need them.
You never find them when you need them. So Shere Khan shows up to this meeting and he's just kind of like, hey, man, like you missed your kill. That means you're out. And I do like where he's just like, cool. Whoever wants to go, step up. And he's like smoking these. All of them. Like, he's not, like, it's nothing. And then I think Shere Khan kind of steps in and tries to take over. And this is where Mowgli jumps in with, like, a giant torch mm-hmm. and clears house. And the leader of this pack was just kind of like, you've used a man trick. Mm-hmm. And you can't stay here. And Mowgli's just like, man, I can't. This day sucks.
They're like, we have fur. We will all catch on fire with that crab.
Right.
Like,
oh, are there rules?
Yeah.
There ain't no rules
ain't
in
no,
a knife fight.
No. So he leaves. And does he follow? How does he get to the village? It's not right there?
He just kind of walks away.
Is that it?
He is forced to leave for the man village, and he is captured by the villagers, including colonial hunter John Lockwood.
Okay.
And placed in a cage.
Right. So he's hit in the face with like a with the butt of a gun, and he's thrown in a cage, and he immediately is rejecting everything that they're doing. And like, I do appreciate that you can see that he's not drinking water because like his face is getting grosser and grosser. Mm-hmm. Finally, they leave the cage door open. He wakes up.
Bagheera shows up, remember? And he's like, oh, you're here to save me. And
yeah, Bagheera's like, nope.
I really like this scene in that, how they played it, that, I mean, he's from, we see him the whole time as someone who is intelligent and can interact
Mowgli,
and talk
right.
and solve problems. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but then when he's put in the world of people, he's a feral child.
He's a savage.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's had no human interaction.
Right.
And he behaves accordingly. And I really liked that take.
It's kind of like Greystoke. Greystoke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where, like, when he shows up for the first time and they're just.
Greystoke was the
porn parody. Yeah, correct. Yeah. Yeah. where he's just like, he doesn't know how to act around people. So he goes and.
What does Bagheera tell him that he was in a similar situation when he was. Is this where he. Is it Bagheera that tells him a story?
Bagheera was like a caged animal.
Yeah.
Oh, he says that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and he's just kind of like, you're on your own, kid. See ya. Have a good life.
Peace out.
Yeah. Yeah. So they leave the cage door open. He kind of crawls out, and he sees Lockwood, who is sitting in front of a pig.
But this like is I like too, because when with feral children, it's always best to crate train them
and to give them a knife at the same time.
Yeah. When he hands him the knife, yeah. I'm like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Right. Like, why did you just hand this savage this,
a knife?
Like a knife.
And I do kind of like this. I did enjoy this scene where he's figuring out how to kill a, you know, or how to skin a pig. And he takes a chunk off and he chews on it and he goes to hand it to Lockwood. Lockwood's like, no.
Yeah.
I liked mine cooked. And yeah. I was like, that was a good line.
Mm-hmm.
So Mowgli starts to, and we kind of leave the jungle and behind, like we don't really see them again, those characters again for a while, where Mowgli starts to acclimate himself to this man world. You know, he meets this woman who's like his surrogate mother, who's giving him a bath, and
Masua.
Do they say her name?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
Wikipedia did.
Yeah, right. So so she's like brushing his hair and like, you know, he doesn't look like a feral child anymore.
Now he looks like a girl.
Now he does look like a girl.
Yeah.
He's washing a cow.
He's trans.
Well,
he's like from cub to man.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works.
Is that Morocco over there still there?
Yeah.
So he's
a man, but he identifies as a cub.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
A wolf.
That's occurring.
Yeah. Moving on.
That is the plot of the movie.
Moving on.
Not necessary.
Moving on.
So he's with his buddies, and then he sees another wolf who kind of comes out of the jungle, and he's just kind of like, oh man, it's good to see you. And he was just like, you got to come back. And he was like, no, like you kicked me out. Why would I come back? And he was like, Shere Khan has taken over. Like it's a mess. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, cool. Good luck with that.
Sucks to be
you. Yeah. It's almost Spider-Man-esque.
Yeah.
With, you know, he's just like with great power. And I'm just like, he's like, you kicked me to the curb, man. Yeah. Like I'm out. So he goes and he has like this big, you know, there's a big ceremony and he's getting painted up. Mm-hmm. This was a little weird, like a little artsy.
But that's a real thing.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So he goes and he, like the hunter tells the story where he's just like, I've only missed once. We should say that we did see an elephant missing a tusk, which comes back around. He's like, I missed, you know, I shot his tusk and that's as far as I got. He's like, but I won't miss again. Like I will kill. He's talking to the village people where it's obvious that they have hired him to kill Shere Khan. Like that was my interpretation of it. And he is getting lit.
He's killing all, because Shere Khan's killing all the cows.
But also, I thought he was killing the cows because of Mowgli.
Shere Khan doesn't want Mowgli around at all. He wants to kill Mowgli. Shere Khan wants no man.
But I thought Mowgli was the catalyst for the cows.
No, I think Shere Khan's on a bigger mission than that.
Okay. So Lockwood is just getting lit, super drunk.
Yeah. Any sympathy that you thought maybe like, oh, this guy seems like he's,
because
nice.
You see his scar, like he's got a big scar on his side. From, we assume Shere Khan.
Yeah.
And so Mowgli kind of puts him into bed, and oh man, this was the part where I was like, So Mowgli's kind of walking through Lockwood's tent, and as he's looking around, he's looking at all of his trophies. We see the tusk that has been broken off. We know where that's going to go. And then we find the head of Boot.
Yes.
And it was just, it was so jarring.
Yeah.
Because it was just like,
Yeah.
So, and then Lockwood kind of comes up from behind, in very Shere Khan-esque, where he comes up from behind silently and starts talking to Mowgli. And he's explaining, he's like, that's the first albino thing I've ever killed and blah, blah, blah. And then he says, you don't understand a word I'm saying, do you? And Mowgli doesn't.
He understands enough.
And now he does.
Yeah.
So heartbroken, as you know, his best friend who he like dressed down
the
hardcore.
Last thing that he said
he's like, you're a freak.
Is,
and I hate you. Is dead. And so like, I look at Bella and I'm just like, do you get what's going on? And she was like, yeah, he killed his best friend and he took that tusk off the elephant. And I was like, okay, all right, fair enough. Are you good? And she's like, yeah, I'm fine. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
So he goes and he
goes. How bad of a dad am I right now?
Right.
Well, in my defense,
I'm okay.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not like I saw that coming. Like, that was the one thing where I was like, well.
She's like, Dad, there's not enough killing in this movie.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Slow.
Like, how many the other one I haven't watched with my daughter just because of the moment Shere Khan chucks the dad off the cliff and it's like, woo.
What do you do with Lion King?
The animated one is so far has been
no
fine.
The new one, the live action.
Oh, we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah,
we'll see.
We skip over certain parts.
Yeah,
what parts?
We used to skip over the death of Simba or
Mufasa.
Mufasa.
Say it again.
Mufasa. Yeah, we used to kind of.
Just
fast forward a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
And to Timon and Pumbaa. Okay, here we are. but even the live action, the Disney one, I was like, ugh.
We'll see. It has to be in it.
No. I'm talking about the Jungle Book.
Oh.
I mean, because that was the one scene where I was like, that's the one scene in the movie where I was like,
because
there's no way to explain away, like, well, what happened? Well
he did.
You know, now, I mean, that movie came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
But this, I was like,
well,
it's a good thing I'm not Joe.
Yeah. No, I was like,
well, you say that a lot.
I say that all the time.
You say that it's a good thing you're not Joe.
I know, yeah.
But you are Joe.
I also knew that when I was like looking for the movie last night and I logged into kids and it wasn't under kids,
right,
I was
right.
like, Oh man! It's over in the adults.
There's a reason.
Yeah. So Mowgli goes back to the jungle. He finds the elephant,
and they said, "Welcome to the jungle."
And they did, and they started. Yeah. And this is where
all these games
are.
Going on.
Yeah. No,
fun,
no,
fun
was,
and games.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He's like, "What now? I leave, and all the fun and games start." What the?
And he goes. He calls the elephant, and the elephant shows up, and he's just like, "Look, I'll give you the hunter if you give me Shere Khan."
Yeah, he gives him the tusk.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he snaps it back into place.
Yeah.
Because
that's how that works?
Yeah.
The elephant's holding it.
The elephant's holding it. It's got his trunk wrapped around it.
Oh,
and then later you see it.
It's gone.
And he doesn't have it.
Right.
They never imply that it's been permanently reattached.
He's got a healing factor where it can snap back into place.
Super glue.
Yeah,
the humans had super glue.
Hang on. They had
Gorilla glue.
So Mowgli goes back to the village. And he starts calling out Shere Khan. And then
Shere Khan.
Don't.
No.
Well, he's calling it out.
Khan. I mean, yeah, that's basically
Khan.
What he's
Shere Khan.
That's basically
what
he's
doing. Let me rock you, Shere Khan.
Oh.
He was like, it's all I want to do.
I'm going to kill that kid.
I just figured out that Benedict Cumberbatch is Shere Khan.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't make that connection.
Yeah.
He's Khan in this as well.
That's right. Why he can't
Son
yell Khan.
That's right, yeah. So Shere Khan kind of comes out of the
again.
He comes out of the woods. Or out of the jungle, mm-hmm. and is this where behind him come the elephants, and like kind of encircle him?
Yeah, and then
is Mowgli fighting him the whole
time?
With
the help of the elephant
and
herd,
Papa Wolf helps, but he
lures Shere Khan to the edge of the village, and he mortally wounds the tiger.
But they
so
also,
but the, like so the
but
hunter,
the, but the father.
No, the head.
Male.
No, it was the head of the pack. It
yeah,
was not,
the, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
head
the father
pack,
figure.
Oh,
he was making air
figures. Okay.
He.
That's after this, though.
You know, makes amends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they. So
this I thought he was going to kill him and become the leader of the pack.
Yeah.
Given this movie,
right?
You're not too far off.
I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Where's it going?
I didn't know where it was going.
Yeah.
But this is the part where he gets stuck in the tree and he knifes him a bunch of times.
He guts him.
I'm like, good lord.
He stabs him in the gut and like he pulls down.
Yeah,
I was like, oh my God.
Knifing this tiger.
At this point, like, I'm looking at Bella and I'm like,
she's holding her sign up.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God. Damn it, like this is getting worse and worse. Like
she's like
I'm half expecting his like at this point
she's like, Daddy, is this the heel turn?
I'm half expecting his guts to come pouring out onto
entrails.
Mowgli. Yeah, and Mowgli just like biting into them, like Shere Khan slinks away and the Lockwood, who is still either drunk or hungover, is just taking shots. Like, he's just shooting at Shere Khan. And then here come the elephants. The elephants, I should say, Lockwood takes the shot. And this is where the head of that pack kind of jumps in the way because he's going to kill Mowgli on accident. And
is that Aquila?
Maybe. What's Aquila? What's the actor's
name? Peter Mullen. That's
who it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, we've established that Lockwood is Aquila.
You know, we have. Well done. Goes
wow.
good. Yeah. So Shere Khan slinks away further
it's
into
fun
the jungle.
To make fun of other cultures' words.
Jeez.
Oh, man. Lockwood gets trampled by the elephants, and Mowgli kind of follows Shere Khan into the jungle, and they have a moment where Shere Khan's like, "You're not gonna like. What are you gonna do? Like, you don't have the balls to do this." And Mowgli's just like, "Cool," and stabs him in the head.
Yeah, looks into his eyes like they were talking about in the beginning of the movie.
So you don't, you know, they don't go to the afterlife alone. I was like, why are we being nice to Shere Khan?
Yeah, I think he should have averted his eyes.
Yeah, right. Like,
you're on your own, bitch.
But I like that though, where he's like, you don't have to be angry anymore. I like that line.
That was a good line. Yeah, he's like,
you know,
because
he was more like sympathizing with him, and he's like, your pain is
right.
Gone.
You don't have to be angry anymore. And Bella said, did he just kill him? I was like, oh yeah.
But he tried. He lunged at him.
He did. Yeah,
he was going to still try and kill him.
Yeah. Right.
So it's
self defense.
So technically self defense. Yeah. It's
well, it's a stand your ground jungle.
Yeah,
right?
India is a stand your ground country. It's
and that's kind of how it like
it's one
Mowgli,
of the hallmarks of imperialism.
Mowgli standing on a cliff. With the sun setting in front of him.
Oh, yeah. What an epic shot.
He's 1989 Batman.
Right.
I was like, wow, these shots are interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's how it ends.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, it was like a solid, like I said, it was a C.
This movie's...
I had very low expectations, and it exceeded them slightly.
It's just a comparison. Is there? And the whole time I was like, I was like, I kind of feel bad because I keep comparing it to something I just saw that was really good.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
you have the right to though. You know?
It's
like, put out an inferior product.
Yeah,
that's just.
Well, and it's the same story. How do you not make comparisons?
It's the same story until the end.
When Bugs Life and Ants came out.
Yeah.
Bugs Life, even though it's basically a retread of many other stories.
Sure.
Ants is terrible. And like Ants, you know, it was like, who thought Woody Allen and Sharon Stone were like good choices for a kid's animated ant
who
movie,
was the other Woody
you know?
Allen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it... Oh, it was the guy from News Radio.
Dave Foley.
And...
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey.
It's still... Yeah. Well, he's...
Dennis Leary. Dennis Leary, is it?
Yeah.
Is he?
He's
a
ladybug.
He's a ladybug.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. We can't all be ladies.
Yeah. Yeah. Just because I'm a ladybug automatically makes me a lady.
Yeah. So, I figure, you know, everybody has Netflix. Give it a go.
It's, I mean, you know, for Netflix movies, let's think about this. How many we've done?
We did
Death Note.
Yeah,
we did Cloverfield.
We've done two Christmas Princes.
Christmas Princes.
We did a Christmas Inheritance.
We did Kevin and I did Christmas Chronicles.
Now, there you go. There's your movie.
So like, they have a. I mean,
which I basically told somebody. I go, you like Kurt Russell? They're like, yeah. I go, well, you like it?
Yeah.
Did you watch it? Yeah.
It's so fun, isn't it?
Kurt Russell.
It's awesome.
Like, well, I'm not gonna be doing all that ho-ho stuff.
Right. He's like, no, it's a myth.
You just tell me what you want me to say. I don't need a script.
Did you see the Escape from North Pole poster?
Mm-mm.
So it's like it's him with the eye patch.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it says Escape.
Call,
you know,
does he say Call Me something?
No, it's just
Call
like,
Me
like
Santa.
It says Escape from the North Pole, and it's in the Escape from New York.
No,
font.
Because it's Call Me Chris.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Call Me Claus.
Yeah.
But I mean, in the span of original Netflix movies, it's
it's
one of them.
Have you
it's
guys tried watching Bright?
I have not.
That's the that's the David Ayers one?
Yeah. Oh, man. I'll tell you what. It is obnoxiously written, that guy. Every other word is the F word. Like, it's just like, I know you're trying to be edgy or whatever. I don't know if they were trying to set a record. Every other word is the F word. I'm like, this is just obnoxious. Like, I'm not easily offended, but like, I don't want to listen to this garbage.
They've got a Michael Bay, Ryan Reynolds movie. Yeah. Like, that's a Netflix original that I'm just like... Whoa.
I mean, I think Netflix is definitely settling into a, you know, they've got great original content, but they're also like, hey, you know, remember when they used to have the direct-to-video section?
That's true.
Wall?
That's very true.
They're becoming that.
Yeah.
Well, the and thing is, so many studios people are Netflix, like,
oh, good.
They'll just watch it. Yeah, yeah, right. They can sell off any trash that isn't going to go to theaters to them. And it's like, oh, this is a good Netflix movie.
Yeah, and I think and the standard will be, yeah, like, I always used to use the drive-in movie standard, which was like, hey, it's good. Drive-in movie? Like, yeah. My standards were super low. You know, just as long as they're on time and I'm not leaving at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right. I think the problem is the disconnect in that they've made some amazing television.
Oh, they have.
But they have not produced some amazing films.
No, totally Roma but, is going to be their first big. Roma,
The Beast of No Nation.
Sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but for the most part,
what
the general public is familiar with have not been stellar properties.
Because a lot of them they're scooping up. You know, it's not like they're producing this great content like with TV. They're producing it. They're involved. This is like Netflix bought this movie because it's not theater quality.
And they did save Annihilation.
They did. Like that's true.
Well, at least domestically, it was theatrical,
the market. Yeah.
But overseas, it was a Netflix movie.
Right.
But I think that if they're going to produce films like Roma, they got to suck it up and start putting them in theaters for real. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I get that they want the content, but like, put it in theaters, let it be a theater movie, and then it's your exclusive content forever.
Right.
I think trying to roll it straight to Netflix, I just feel like it's a mistake. I feel like as a long-term strategy, it's going to be problematic because the theater owners and don't like it.
Right. Sure.
And then the Oscar community, I think there's going to be real hesitation to vote for a movie that was only in two theaters and then popped up on Netflix.
I don't think they care about that, though.
I don't think they care about it for this, but I think they care about it for Roma.
They really care about it for Roma. They're going all out.
And the problem they're going to have is that if I didn't care for Roma, but it's a critical darling, and it
is getting overlooked by a lot of critics groups, though.
But if Roma doesn't click for them, I think the problem they're going to have is getting the next A-list director to make a movie for them, because they're going to say, but you're going to release it in two cities for 3 days so it can technically be theatrical.
What if they just do the independent model where it's you release it?
Well, that's what Prime does.
Yeah, you release it on the low, you know, like Chicago, New York, LA. Yeah. And then if it's something that works, then you give it a bigger release.
I mean, we get those in the art house theaters for a couple weeks.
Yeah. Amazon's done that great.
I mean, because they did it with Manchester by the Sea was an Amazon movie.
The Big Sick
was an Amazon movie. So
they do it with all of them. They give it a couple weeks in the art houses or a few weeks.
And I think if they did that, they would be getting a lot less pushback from the industry.
But the problem is with audiences now, you've given everyone knows Netflix and understands it. Everyone has it. And you've given them all these free movies, people are not going to go to the theater to see Netflix movies.
Yeah, I mean,
because it's going to be on Netflix.
Reed Hastings is a bit of a bro. You know? Like, I don't know that he's going to be able to adapt that much. Remember Flickster?
I do. That was a swing and a miss.
So,
But in credit to them, they corrected quickly.
They did.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't double down and say, damn it, this is going to be a thing. They were like, you know what? Whoops, mulligan.
They did. They listened.
Yeah.
And they corrected and they saved that company.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, we're all, you know, we see a couple movies a week and we see all these films in theaters. But you have to remember that we're the minority here. Mm-hmm. Like, when people know that a movie's going to come on Netflix, even if it's in a month, they're just not going to go to the theater. So, like, people go to the theater so rarely, they're going to go, oh, I'll wait for, like they do, I'll wait for Netflix.
But I say that, but like,
every movie shows up on something
Avengers, they're saying, is going to be a $2 billion movie, but it's going to be on digital and within 6 months.
Yeah. But people still go.
No, but it's just Netflix has trained people. I just mean Netflix especially. They're like, oh, well, I'll just wait.
Do you mean if they see that logo in front of them?
Yes.
I have a problem.
I disagree. I think if they're like, this is going to have a traditional theatrical release and then it will live on Netflix, I don't know why it would be any different than any other movie that comes out and then will eventually live on Netflix or Prime or Vudu
Especially now that everybody has a streaming service.
Yeah.
You could say the new Disney movie is going to come out in theaters. It's like, I know. And I'll just wait for it to be on Disney Plus. It's going to be on Disney Plus the new Warner Brothers thing or whatever.
Maybe they need to get their quality up first then.
That's probably true.
But Yeah.
And but maybe, like maybe, with Roma,
maybe,
they
maybe
did.
Roma is the
I mean, I didn't care for it, but like if you like those sorts of movies, it's a really good yeah. one. Mm-hmm. It just didn't work for me.
But that's one or two. I mean, yeah. they need to get their quality up overall if they're going to yeah. start asking for $10 tickets and concessions.
Well, they're also going to have to increase their budget. I mean, if you're going to have Michael Bay doing a movie, you're not going to get...
I'm in no way suggesting they should do it with all their movies.
Yeah.
You know right. what I mean? Yeah, I mean, should A Christmas Prince be released theatrically? Absolutely not. Like, maybe you come up with a new branding, like, you know, right, yeah. Netflix Elite or whatever.
Mm-hmm, right.
And the more prestigious movies get that treatment.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. Because
it should be Netflix Studios or whatever. Yeah, that would make a difference.
Yeah.
It's because people have to understand. That
totally. Like, yeah, I am in no way saying that every Netflix movie should get a theatrical release. That is not
asinine
the case.
Yeah.
But I do think that there are Netflix movies that are absolutely worthy.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't figure out a way to do that, they're not going to be able to keep attracting that degree of talent.
I want
to
win Oscars.
I honestly think if this Miller World partnership with Netflix works,
is that ever going to happen? I feel like
I
that
know.
Was announced 5 years
it was,
ago.
Like, but it's like,
where's the first thing?
Well,
from
the problem is he had so many in production with other studios that I don't know where the cutoff was. Because, I mean, he was putting out so much Mark, we're talking about Mark Miller,
right.
The comic book writer, was putting out so much content that I don't know. He was making comics were getting picked up for film rights before the first issue was even on shelves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So right. I don't know where the cutoff was, where Netflix was just like, from here back is ours.
He's like, suckers, I'm not making any, but you can pay me.
He does, though. Like, he's got a new book coming out next week.
No, I mean, the movie's like, where are they?
that's the question. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it's interesting that Brian K. Vaughan just signed an exclusive deal with Legendary. Like, it's an interesting new model that some of these comic book creators are doing.
It's very similar to during the 80s stand-up boom.
Oh, sure.
Like, every stand-up comic was signing a six-figure development deal.
Yeah.
Most of them never produced anything,
right.
Or they produced a pilot that didn't get picked up.
Yeah.
But they were going out to LA, and they were getting $250,000
just for going out there
for their development deal.
Yeah, right.
And they would go out there and they mm-hmm. you know, that would be what kept them afloat for a long time. I think it's very, very similar.
Yeah,
I'll be happy when that model discovers podcasting.
Yeah. We're going to LA.
We are ripe.
Yeah. They're going to give us $270.
Right.
Yeah.
But hey, you split that four ways.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's enough to get us to LA and not home.
Nope.
But yeah, like I don't watch it with your kids.
If you got a kid who plays Call of Duty, he's gonna be fine.
It's the same thing.
I don't watch it.
Yeah. So Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
Yeah. Think about Rudyard Kipling and I was like, there's so many versions of, I think we talked about this last time. There's so many versions of Jungle Book, but so I'm gonna just pivot over to 1975, Chuck Jones did Rikki Tikki Tavi.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it was on TV all the time. And now it's like completely forgotten.
Yeah.
And it's the mongoose and the two cobras. And, the mongoose is trying to protect keep the cobras at bay. And
there was nothing better than when you were watching TV as a kid.
You saw that name?
And you saw the CBS special presentation.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh man, we're getting a cartoon.
No, it's
instead of Kate and Allie.
Yeah.
That's great.
And it was directed by Chuck Jones.
I mean, the master.
You know, and it was I don't even know if it's available. It might probably be
on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, most likely. Because
nobody cares.
A lot of that stuff, like, it's weird. A lot of the Dr. Seuss stuff is on YouTube.
Yeah, it is.
It's basically Rikki Tikki Tavi, and he becomes a pet of a British family residing in India. So it does, you know, with Rudyard Kipling, it's about colonization and all other political ramifications. And then the cobras and who I remember just being pretty creeped out by them when I was like eight.
Sure.
When this came out.
I feel like I had this on VHS.
You may have. I think I did. But it used to be on all the time.
I've never seen this.
And it's fascinating. It's really, really well
done. I'm almost positive I had that.
Yeah. If you haven't ever seen it,
it does not appear to be on YouTube.
Yeah.
I was just looking at a couple clips.
It's a great story. I mean, it was a short. The animated version. I think they did a film version too. They have multiple versions, but yeah. the one that like I think that
you can
really
rent
sort
it.
Of like
you can rent
the
it
biggest
on
one that ever happened was the Chuck Jones one.
You can rent the Chuck Jones one on YouTube for $4.
Apparently, you can get it in a 6-pack with Mowgli's Brothers, The White Seal, and 3 other classics.
Yeah, White Seal was another one.
Are you sure it's the version he's talking about?
Well, White Seal, Chuck Jones did that too.
Okay, then maybe. Yeah.
But it was a movie collection, Chuck Jones collection. So.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The artwork doesn't look like.
Right. No.
You know, it looks like one of those, like, this isn't the cartoon you want, but your grandma won't know that. Yeah.
No, exactly. I saw the big Chuck Jones at the top. Gotcha. Yeah. That's got to be the version.
Yeah. If you've never seen it, I mean.
The cover art's weird.
It was when it was 75, so like people knew this just as well as Jungle Book.
Yeah.
You know, and it was on all the time.
I feel like it always aired with another cartoon. I can't remember what it was.
Secret of Nim?
No, that's a movie. It was like another half hour.
Oh.
It was like back to back. It'd be like this and Rikki Tikki Tavi. I was like Charlie Brown's Thanksgiving and Rikki Tikki Tavi or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. It was always doubled up with something. And it was like an event. They played it all the time.
I'll have to check that out.
So
I like Chuck
seen
Jones.
Chuck Jones
is the master.
Yeah, like, it was a classic. Yeah. It was a very cool. There's a lot of, there's not a lot of dialogue.
Squeaks and clicks.
Yeah, well, the snakes talk. I don't remember. I think Rikki Tikki Tavi talks, but the snakes talk and they're creepy. So,
yeah,
the Cobras.
You know, I will say when I was searching around, like looking at comparisons and everything, I went to YouTube and I typed in Jungle Book. And if you type in Jungle Book 1942, there's like an 8K restoration of the 1942 Jungle Book in full, beautiful HD quality just sitting on YouTube. I was amazed at how good it looked. So, if you want to check out the 1942 version, it looks incredible.
Yeah.
It's almost like the version of the comedian when he met his wife for the first time, where she gets really sick.
The big sick.
Yeah. Oh. Like that was on Pornhub.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And nobody, oh, I remember and, people, that. And he, yeah. he was just like, yeah, go ahead. And get, yeah. yeah. Which is like, go ahead and go watch
about
it. There.
It. He's like, it's on Pornhub. And
I'm not kidding.
Yeah. Like go watch
that's
it.
People would do that. Like they would upload versions of that to Pornhub because people would never think to look there.
That's funny.
Yeah,
but I was just amazed. I'm like, what, this is the whole movie? And I'm like, it looks brilliant. We were talking, maybe it was before the show, about like film scans, but if you see stuff that's scanned from the original negative in like 4K or 8K, even though this is from 42, it looks crystal clear. Like it could have been, you know, I mean, you can tell it's dated, but it's amazing. So there's that too.
And like, is it like a studio put it on there, or is it
nobody cares? But it's amazing. Like, I get it when it's like something out of print that no one really has the rights to. But like, clearly someone took the time to restore this film in beautiful quality, and it's just sitting there. I don't know. YouTube's usually pretty quick to pull stuff down. I guess no one cares about that though.
Yeah, so. I think a lot of times that older stuff, like you can find a lot of like the Abbott and Costello movies.
Yeah,
it like in like high quality DVD quality, which is about as high as you're going to get for most of their movies, just living on there, nobody cares.
Yeah. That's where I would fall down Japanese wrestling rabbit holes.
Oh boy,
yeah. But like, you couldn't find it over here. Like it was, you know, I remember going to comic shows and people would have just like boxes of VHS tapes from of Japanese wrestling, and you're just like, tape traders.
Those
like
comic shows. That's a whole different story.
These aren't current comic shows. These were like the comic shows that were in VFW halls.
Right. Yeah. Like Knights of Columbus.
Yeah. Where it's just like, I'll take this weird Japanese wrestling show from 1989 that has a guy getting thrown into a thing of dynamite. Whatever.
Dynamite.
They don't have that over here. It's different over there. They get away with all kinds of stuff.
Oh, well, no. I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter, DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, you can Continue the conversation online at facebook.com/realspoilers. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe, and of course Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, I guess we will tackle Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh yeah.
So thanks for tuning in, and until next time, a solar eclipse saves Jaguar Paw.
Miles, you gotta unstick. What do you do to relax?
He needs to say,
oh, for crying out loud.
Calling it quits now, baby, I'm a rat.
Oh, teenagers.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, only in theaters.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.